This morning, I want to talk to you, I want to just mention in the beginning that this week I paid attention to a very interesting bumper sticker. I don't know about you, but I am amazed when I look at a bumper sticker on the back of a car, because you can almost figure that person out, what kind of a person that is, by just looking at their bumper sticker, right? I don't know. That's the way I think sometimes. Well, I was stopped at a traffic light in Portland the other day and noticed a bumper sticker on the car in front of me, and I said, boy, that'll fit in beautifully to what I want to share Sunday. And it said this. It says, I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to work. I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to work. All right. Have you ever felt that way? Surveys indicate that most Americans, 70% of Americans, don't like their jobs. Now, that's a pretty high figure. 70% of Americans do not care for their employment and for their work, for what they're doing. They're dissatisfied. Someone once asked a man, how long does it take you to get to work in the morning? And he said, usually I get to work about a half hour after I clock in. So, it takes a while, I know. But the attitude to work is unfortunate, since most of us spend about 40% of our lives at work, employed, doing the work that we are doing, whatever it might be. This being, of course, Labor Day weekend, I want us to talk a little bit this morning about what God's Word has to say about work. I think God has a lot to say about work. The Apostle Paul tells us that, you know, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So work is important. Work is something that's very much a part of our fabric. It's part of our DNA. It's part of who we are and what we're about. I know that there are those who feel they are allergic to work. And there are those that we as taxpayers support them sitting home when they're able-bodied people who do not want to get out and work and support themselves and their families. And all of those issues I'm not going to get into this morning, because we're entering into perhaps something that may have a little extra thoughts to it. But what does God have to say about work? I want to turn you over to the book of Ecclesiastes. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. Written by Solomon, who was perhaps one of the wisest men that ever lived on the planet Earth. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a very beautiful passage that we read many times, where Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And a time for this and a time for that. He goes on and on. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. And on and on. In verse number 8, a time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And then looking at verse number 9, this is the passage I want us to look at this morning. Verse number 9. Well, why don't we stand in reverence to God's Word and read it together. Ecclesiastes 3, 9 to 15. Let's read it together in unison. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever has already been and what will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. Heavenly Father, touch our hearts today by the power of your inerrant word. Fill us with your spirit, we pray, that we might be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I realize there are some of you here that are retired. And some of you who have worked out in the workforce for some, I don't know, many, many years. I won't even begin to speculate on how many years. And so you're at the point right now where you're retired, you're hopefully on the receiving end of all the benefits that you have accrued over the years. I'll be there someday myself, unless the Lord comes back beforehand. But at the same time, God has some good things to say about work. And there's some good things for us to know and understand as Christians today. I've taken the title of this message, and I'm calling it Take This Job and Love It. There was a country song written with maybe another word or two that was different than the title of this. But take this job and love it. Whatever job you have right now, and whatever you're doing out in the workforce right now, God says that maybe you ought to think about that as your calling in your life right now, whatever it might be. And you know, I didn't know anything about any of this stuff until I started working out in the secular workforce myself. I served as a pastor for some 27 years, and then a time came in my life where I left pastoral ministry and began working. As you all know, I worked at Cabela's, which was a retail store for hunting and fishing, doing stuff that I love to do. And what a great place to work if you love doing those things. And so it was a blessing for me, because I had always been preaching to people who were out doing all the messy stuff in this world, and they were sitting in their pews Sunday morning, and I had perhaps no understanding what it was like to work out in the world and sit in the pews on Sunday morning. And I had no idea what it was like to do that because, well, I did it as a teenager, perhaps, when my first job, I remember my first job was working at a tree farm, transplanting trees for the Nova Scotia Department of Lands and Forestry. And I got a real good salary out of that, too. It was $1 an hour. And let me tell you, that was back in 1971, 72. And I thought I had the world by the tail. I remember my first check I brought home. And I said, you know, they're cheating me here. They're cheating me. How come they're taking all this stuff, all this money out of this check here? I earned this. And so the government took a little bit. And so it was a very interesting time. You know, I've been in pastoral ministry. I went to school, did 7 years, 8 years of training between Bible college and seminary, and went right out into a church, my first church in New Brunswick, and just kept serving the Lord that way for 27 years. And of course, I recognized the fact there were people that got up in the morning and had a real job. They went out to work. And I recognized that, and I tried to be as affirming as possible. But I never knew really what it was like to do it myself until I started working at Cabela's. And what a great, great life experience that was. Because I knew that at that time, during those years that I worked there, that was God's calling in my life to be there at that time. And to have a ministry, and to let my light shine for Jesus Christ. It was not easy because there was, I mean, you had to punch a clock. I wasn't used to doing that. It wasn't easy because there were other people I had to answer to, and I wasn't used to that. I was used to, you know, someone asked me once, who's your boss? I said, well, God is my boss. So I had other bosses at the store that I had to answer to. And of course, God was my boss. But there's something here to be said when we look at the words of Solomon. What does the worker gain from his toil? What does a worker gain from his toil? When you get up and go to work in the morning, what do you gain from your work, from your toil, besides a paycheck at the end of the week? What's that? You saying happiness? All right, there you go. There's a man from experience. Happiness. Ah, it's okay. That's right. Somebody keep him straight here this morning, okay? All right. God bless you. The writer here in Ecclesiastes speaks about happiness. And he says, I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful and has made everything beautiful in its time. He also says this beautiful passage, these beautiful words, that he has made everything beautiful, but he has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. And then he says in verse 12, he says, I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. In other words, God is saying to us, to each and every one of us here this morning, that there's nothing any better than for you to be happy and to do good and to find fulfillment in your life, in whatever you're doing, Now, 70% of this country, of people that go to work every morning, we're told, does not like their job. They do not like what they're doing. That's kind of sad. So there's a lot of people that are in the workforce right now who are not satisfied, who are unhappy, who are disgruntled, who are perhaps each and every day as they go to work, they are individuals not knowing fulfillment in their own personal lives. So that happiness, that fulfillment is important to us, but it is a spiritual, Christ-centered happiness that God is interested in implanting into our hearts. That's what's important. And so Solomon says, I know there's nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. To do good while they live. You know, you can go to a job and be part of a job and do that job and still feel like you're not doing good. But there's nothing quite like doing a job and feeling like you are making a contribution. And feeling like God is using you in doing that job. Whether it is the actual work you do, whether it is the people you work with, whether it is the mission, the heartbeat that you have in your heart, the compassion you have for the people around you, or whatever it is. You see, Solomon says that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil, in all his labor. This, he says, is a gift from God. So, I'm wondering how many of us, those of us who are out in the workforce, how many of us, when we get up and go to work in the morning, believe that the jobs that we are doing is really a gift from God? That God has gifted us in doing that particular job. Three questions I want you to ask yourself about your job this morning. And some of it comes from this passage and other passages as well. But the first question I want to ask you today is, does this job, the job you have, does it provide enough to meet my needs? A lot of people who are working in the workforce are only working to minimum wage standards. And as long as the answer to this question is yes, then salary should never be the primary factor in considering a job, whatever it might be. Obviously, you know, as a pastor, I knew that when I went into pastoral ministry, I knew that it better not be for the money because I wasn't going to make much anyway. My first pastoral ministry job, my first church, I remember, was a grand total full-year salary back in 1980 of $7,000 for the year. And $7,000 really wouldn't go very far today, would it? Really wouldn't. And so, throughout the years, we've had to scrimp and save, and you know, it's been difficult many, many times throughout our pastoral ministry because there really was not enough to provide for our basic needs. I'm very blessed today knowing that God is taking care of our needs, and times have changed and things have come around a lot, and I'm very thankful for that. But the fact is, it's a good question to ask when you take a job. Does this job provide enough to meet my needs? And for those of you who have university education behind you, who have professional degrees, those of you who have a specified training in certain areas of whatever you do, I hope that you think of it in terms of whatever you're doing, that you are being paid accordingly and sufficiently, and you are being paid according to what you're worth. And so it's a good question. I don't believe that any of us ought to be thinking about our jobs, taken advantage of, people taking advantage of us. When it comes to finances, there's really one question that matters, and that is that does the job pay enough to enable me to meet my obligations, to provide for my needs? Solomon said that it is the gift of God if a person works, a person's work provides him or her with enough to eat or drink. It says it right here. To meet their physical needs, in other words. And if it does, then it passes the test. So I don't think there's anything wrong when you go for a job interview. There's nothing wrong with making sure that what you're going to earn will meet your basic needs, will meet your physical needs, and whatever needs you have. The next two questions, I think, are much more important, though. The first question is, you know, is there enough to meet my basic need? The second question is this: does this job give me the opportunity to do good? To do good. And Solomon said this in verse 12. He says, I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. In other words, putting it down into our level and where we are today, does your job make it possible for you to do good to others? I think that's a good thing to think of. Now, there's many of you here who are doing all kinds of good jobs. You're important jobs. Some of you were involved in education. Some of you were involved in business. Some of you, I know of a farmer sitting in the back there. I know that farmer's wife who works downtown Portland, works with the homeless. That's an important job. I do limo jobs. That's what I do in my spare time. I work driving people. The other day I drove someone around that you may know. His name is Mr. Goodall. He's the guy that suspended Tom Brady. And he got in the car and he said, you're not mad at me too, are you? And I said, no. Nice guy, by the way. But at the same time, you know, the question I ask, does my job, does my employment give me an opportunity to do good? And I think of my wife, who's very seldom here, who works in hospice. She is... many Sunday mornings, she is out with someone who is about ready to spend their last few moments on this earth. And she's holding their hand, or she is helping the family, or doing whatever it takes to help that family during this time, the time of transition that they are preparing for. I couldn't do that. I believe that there are only special people in this world that can do that kind of work. Working with teenagers in school, that's another one that I'm not sure I could do. Another one is working with numbers at a bank. Oh boy, would it ever be in a mess if I ever touched it. All kinds of, you folks are just so, what a broad spectrum of talent we have here this morning. You know, some of you are nurses and healthcare workers and respite and people. It's just wide over, all over the map as to what many of you do for employment. And you are faithful to that employment. And let me ask you this question. Do you see it as God's calling in your life? I think it will help if you do see it as God's calling. You may not like what you're doing. You may not like getting your hands dirty, digging in the mud, or anything like that. But for such a time as this, this may very well be where God has planted you to serve Him in His way. Now, I can hear all kinds of stories. Many of you have told me stories about how God has used you at your work, at your place of employment, and how God has used you and has blessed other people through you as a result of you being tuned into the leading of His Spirit. That is an awesome thing. That is an amazing thing. And so I think Solomon had that in mind here when he was talking about doing good, that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. It's an amazing thing. And so maybe, you know, changing the world isn't built into your job description, but you can give... You can use that job to give you leverage in ministering to people. People who hurt. People who are lost. People who are outside of Jesus Christ. People who need to hear the gospel. People who need to see the gospel being lived out in your life and through your life. It's just that simple. The Apostle Paul was what? He was a tent maker, right? He was a tent maker. He made tents in order to help finance his ministry. I have a friend who is an attorney. He loves practicing law. He's good at it. But he sees his practice as a means to support his ministry. And guess what he does when he's not in a courtroom or practicing law? He goes on mission trips. He goes on mission trips to Sudan, to Afghanistan, and to many war-torn countries around the world. He'll probably be in Texas in the short little while, helping out down there. Because on his time off, he believes that God has called him and the resources that he has to be able to meet human need, the people around him. So Solomon is saying, and he's giving us some very important practical advice. He's saying, make sure your job gives you the chance, the opportunity to do good in whatever you're doing. Whether it's working at Cabela's or whether it's being a farmer or a banker or an educator or a nurse or whatever it is, make sure that you are doing good to the glory of God. And here's the final thing. Here's the final question on this Labor Day Sunday. As we think of labor and we think of the importance of work. A question I think is important is this. Does this job give me a sense of fulfillment? Does it give me a sense of fulfillment? Let me just share with you, when I worked at Cabela's, I was happy as a bedbug there for a long time. Until about the last year. I'm not sure how happy bed bugs are. But I was happy. I was just living in the glory, living the dream, as they say. And it was great. I was wonderful people I was working with. Until the last couple of years I was there, I sensed, you know, I believe God wants me to refocus, maybe doing what he first called me to do. And so that's why I'm here. Solomon said this in verse 13, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. And so the question is, what you're doing, is it bringing you fulfillment? Is it bringing you satisfaction, a sense that you're fulfilling your purpose? Maybe the job you're doing now is not all that God has in mind for you. Maybe he's preparing you for another job down the road that may have more responsibility, maybe a job with a higher calling in your life. He's preparing you for something else. That's entirely possible. Of course, every job has aspects that make it difficult. There's no easy job. Let me tell you, I had my resignation in my pocket. I carried it with me for about a year before I finally left Cabela's. And there were times I was ready to just walk off the floor because of frustration, a lot of frustration. Every job has its frustration. Every job has its downtime. But when you look at the big picture, and when you think of what God has done and how God has provided you with the job you have, you know, it's amazing to know that God's up to something. And he wants to use you, whether it is to bless the hearts of other people. I had more opportunities to minister and share the gospel when I worked at Cabela's because I did at least 7 or 8 weddings. I did 3 or 4 funerals. I did counseling. I talked to people in the break room about Christ. I ministered to people in their homes. And many, many different opportunities God gave me in a secular work environment to share the gospel. And as a pastor, I don't always get that opportunity. Because I'm inside, I work with you guys all the time. And you take a lot of my time. And I feel many times like I'm caged in. And I'm not out where the action is. Let me just tell you that you guys are out where the action is. You're out there every single day in the trenches. You are out there with those who need to hear about Jesus Christ and to respond to his work, respond to his grace. So, you know, does this job give me a sense of fulfillment? I trust that it does. I trust that you will understand that he wants you to be fulfilled in whatever job you're doing. Whatever it is, whether it's digging ditches, or whether it's teaching, or whether it's holding any political office, or whether it's doing this or that or anything else. God wants you to be the very best and to bloom where you're planted in doing his will, to his glory, to his honor. So I'm going to close with that because this is what God says to us today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that even during these days, Lord, you are here for us. And we are your people to serve you in these days. I thank you for your word that tells us in Colossians, whatever we do, we're to work it with all our hearts as working for the Lord, since we know that we'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as our reward, that it is the Lord Jesus we are serving. Lord, whatever we do, in work or in deed, we pray that we'll do it to your glory, to your honor. And whatever we do when we wake up in the morning and go out into the world, I pray that you'd help us to know that we're doing it for you. And we're doing it to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.